Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids. Kids of all ages, all stages, any mental health issue, learning disabilities, addictions, anything that you may need in order to help your loved one, any age, any stage, or for yourself, possibly a referral or a support group for yourself in reference to building good relationships with your child. Maybe it's addiction issues, crisis intervention. Feel free to call MASK's helpline from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And our confidential number is 718-758-0400. You can call anonymously. Write down our number. I'll repeat it for you again. Maybe it's for yourself, a loved one, a friend, a neighbor, or someone even you sit next to in shul. Our confidential number, again, is 718-758-0400. And anyone that wants to listen to any of our previous shows, they are listed on our website. You can also go online and partner Help Mask Help Families by making a donation. And our website is Mask Parents, M-A-S-K, Parents, P-A-R-E-N-T-S .org. Tonight we have with us a very dear friend and colleague for a long time, many years, probably, I know, as long as Mask is about 21 years, I know that Deborah Levy is a marriage and trauma specialist, counselor, therapist in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, in the Five Towns for 20 years. Or maybe, Deborah, is it over 20 years already?
Just about 20.
Right. So, welcome. Thank you for coming on tonight. It's wonderful always doing things with you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
So, Deborah, let's talk about what are some of the benefits of marriage counseling. Let's start with that, please.
Okay. So I think that I think a lot of couples can benefit from marriage counseling either as a marriage enhancer, or sometimes they're experiencing a lot of pain in the relationship. And there are insights and there are tools that couples can learn and adapt that can make a very big difference in the quality of the relationship. And so what I do is help couples understand what's going on, understand what I call their relationship dance, and offer tools that will help them feel better, feel more connected with each other.
So, you know, you mentioned the word enhance. Yes, not always do couples go to counseling because they have an issue. Sometimes it's just styles of communication, different styles that they're used to, you know, how their parents or their home, you know, growing up is run, and maybe their spouse was brought up differently, and they may just not be seeing eye to eye on regular, everyday, something simple, or bringing up children. So there are so many different ways to get into counseling. It doesn't have to always be the negative way, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. What you're saying is very true, that everyone's coming in with their own histories and unconscious expectations and what's familiar. And when we encounter a difference in our partner and how we translate that, either as threatening or complimentary, determines how we react.
Yes, and there are people who also stay in unhappy marriages until either resistance builds or they have no choice and they divorce. But let's talk about first some positive skills, some, you know, for those that are in marriages and want to enhance their marriage. what would you say to them? How do you involve if one spouse does want to go to marriage counseling and possibly the other one says, why do we need it?
Okay, no, they're two very different questions.
Yep.
Let me start with the first one. The first part of this is, what would I tell couples who are looking to enhance their relationship? And it's really the following. Couples have different narratives about what's going on between the two spouses. They come into my office. Everyone can have a very different story. But underneath it, the relationship cycle is pretty much the same across the board, which is the following. We have very basic needs of what we want from our partner. I wrote an article once that, what's the problem with marriage? And I start with, the problem with marriage is that our partner has the ability to hurt us in ways that no one else can. Because what we're looking for from our partner is to feel respected, to feel valued and considered. And when something happens and it gets translated that we're not valued, respected, or considered, any of the above, what translates as love, we commonly have two ways of reacting. We either withdraw, when we get hurt, we either withdraw or we attack. Now, this is where couples get stuck, because what we want to feel with our partner is closeness and connection, right? That's a primary need to feel, it's adaptive, evolutionarily, to feel close to our partner. We want to feel close and connected, but if we get hurt and we either withdraw or attack, what we create is distance. And it becomes a self-perpetuating cycle. So if I'm going to attack my partner, he will then withdraw. If he withdraws, I might then attack or withdraw. And we don't have closeness. We have distance. So for couples to do this dance differently, it would mean being more vulnerable, staying away from withdrawal, staying away from attacking, coming forward with an I place. I think you're wrong is not an I place. And I place is, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling unheard. That is most likely to receive a more open response, a less defensive response. So that's one tool, slowing things down. We stop thinking logically when we get triggered, when there's an attachment hurt, which I mean that type of hurt that makes us feel unloved. If we can take a breath, or take a break, slow it down, that's a good tool. And I'll throw out one other tool, which is we can listen to the emotion beneath content. So we can often get triggered if our partner says, you never come home on time. And if we want to start to pull apart, well, I came home on time two nights ago, and so what are you saying? Then we're sticking with content. But if we listen to emotion beneath content, the emotion would be, it could be, I'm feeling lonely, or I'm feeling disappointed, or I'm feeling frustrated. And then the response might be, well, tell me what I can do to help you feel less lonely, and that creates an entirely different feeling to the dialogue. Should I go into part two, or do you have a question?
Yeah.
Okay. Part two. What do you do if only one partner wants to come into therapy? So that's not uncommon, and I have seen that a marriage can improve. Even if only one partner is sitting in the therapy room, and I'll tell you how. This paradigm, there's a very important paradigm of in a relationship of being able to hold two realities, which means that two people can see things very differently. I'll even say opposite, and they can both be right. An example I like to use, if I drew a six on the floor, between you and me. So I'm standing in front of you, and I draw a six. What do you see?
A nine.
Right. And we're both right, right? I'm not going to argue with you and tell you that this is a six, because where you're standing, it's a nine. And that plays out with a couple differences in the same way. It can be based on gender differences. It can be based on history, family of origin history. But if I can know... So if I'm sitting by myself in a therapist's office and I'm relaying an issue that I had with my husband, something that he did that created some hurt for me, and I am very validated in my perspective and I feel heard by my therapist, and then slowly I move out of my place of my own perspective of reality and I start to develop with my therapist, where might have my spouse been coming from and what was his intention or vice versa, the husband's in the room, and we're trying to build the wife's perspective. So what was she meaning to say? What do you think she was intending to say when she said X, Y, Z? And can you, and generally, partners are able to intuit where their spouse is coming from when they step back off the brink of being very emotionally triggered and see it from a more, see it from a distance, see it more objectively. Holding two realities at all times is a very powerful marriage enhancer.
So basically, what we're saying is that relationship skills needed to maintain a fulfilling marriage could be learned with the assistance of a marriage counselor offering some new skills and monitoring, you know, the progress or even mediating conflict, and then you give objective feedback.
So the tools are the most objective part. The experience that a couple has in the room is less objective and very experiential. It's very powerful to get to the root of what's hurting. Do you understand what I'm saying? That
yes, Devora, basically, excuse me.
Sure.
What I'm thinking you're saying is that people come in to a therapist with, he did that, she did this, you know, this for 20 years doesn't work, this for 4 years I asked for and I'm not getting, etc. So sometimes people get stuck on things that you really, if you go beneath that and look into where it's coming the hurt from, then maybe, and not focus on 22 times he didn't bring me home flowers, you're saying, then you can really start to create new skills to be able to respond when something's bothering the couple.
Right. New reactions.
Should
I give you an example?
Yeah, please do.
So a lovely couple comes into the office, let's say early 50s, married a while, but they were in a very distant, cold place. And what had happened was his mother had gotten sick and he had gotten very busy with her care. The wife had felt neglected, and feeling neglected it could be very painful, and so she predictably withdrew. And so he comes home and she's withdrawn and not speaking, and this is happening day after day, and so he starts to withdraw, because if she's going to have an attitude with him and not be interactive, then why should he talk to her? So now he's living in his own space and she's living in it in her own space, until finally one of them says, I think we need help. And they come into the office and they're sitting on either end of the couch with about four feet in between them, with pretty much arms crossed, and not fighting actually, but knowing that they lost that connection somehow. They're distant. And so when we traced the cycle, it went back to her saying, but he's giving all this attention to his mother, and he's not seeing me, he's not caring about me, and when I get hurt, I withdraw. And so we track that. So when you withdraw, what do you think is going to be the likely response he's going to have? And she said, he withdrew. He withdrew. I said, what would it take for him to come forward when you're this hurt? And she thinks about it, and she says, well, I would have to tell him. I would have to tell him that I'm hurt. And I turned to him. I said, well, and if your wife did turn to you and tell you how hurt she's feeling, how lonely she's feeling, you've been so preoccupied and stressed, and that's somewhat abandoning for her emotionally, since it's so different from all the years that you've been together. What would you say to her if she expressed it like that? And he would say, I would want to tell her she's so important to me. I would want to tell her I love her. I would want to take her out for dinner. And so right there, the cycle begins to change. How? By identifying what the hurt is and a way of communicating around it that draws the other person closer as opposed to pushing them away.
And we have with us tonight Devora Levy, LCSW, individual and couple therapist in Brooklyn, in Flatbush, and in Long Island. Devora, let's talk about the effects on children that live in a home where there is marital strife. Many times on our Mask Helpline, you know, if we've heard from children where they say, you know, my parents are always fighting, or my parents are not nice to each other, or if we were to ask them, so, does mom love dad? Does dad love mom? We get a total different answer than the parents. If we ask the same question to the parents usually, very often, not usually, I'm sorry, very often would say, my kids don't even know we're unhappy. They think we have Shalom bias. Or my kids, we never fight in front of the children, or we never scream and yell, or we never, you know, we act in front of the children, and they have no idea. And it's so many, many, many times that we've heard over and over again from kids that say, my parents don't get along. Parents are shocked when they hear that the kids really know where their marriages are up to. So can you talk about young kids, even?
Even starting with infants, our children live in the middle of the relationship, the energetic field of the relationship between their moms and their dads. So even if they're not witnessing outright fighting, there's an energy that's created in the house that's based on the relationship between mom and dad. And children are picking that up. It could be the rise of an eyebrow when they pick up their phone. It could be coming out of a room because you argued privately and dad has a fake smile and mom has red eyes. It could be the tone of the voice as they speak to each other. But kids are picking it all up. So the younger they are, the less verbal skills they have, it's pure energy. It can be translated as anxiety. It can be translated as the need to be hyper, to be perfect, so that you don't create more upset in the family system that's already loaded with tension. Older children can either withdraw or become parentified. So oftentimes, that one child becomes enmeshed. A parent leans on that child for emotional support when they're not getting it from their spouse. So it's really hard to hide tension in a relationship from children.
Yeah, it really is. What about the parent who doesn't, what about the parent who can't or hasn't learned to say, you know, they're not like, I love you to the spouse, and the spouse really needs that?
So this comes up a lot in therapy in that I'm a very strong advocate that individuals, partners, should say what they need. They should actually verbalize whatever it is they need. If they need a hug, if they need to hear I love you, if they need to hear I look beautiful, I want roses, whatever it is. Now, I often get pushback on that because the response is, if I need to ask for it, it doesn't count. So I strongly feel that it does count, and that if we have a need, it's on us to express it. So someone who needs to hear, I love you, hopefully will be able to verbalize it as her own need, not as her spouse doing something wrong. It wouldn't be like, you never say I love you. That is not an I place. An I place is, I'm aware of having this deep need to hear you tell me that you love me. And see what the response is to that. If we start with you, automatically, the listener becomes defensive. No matter, you can say anything after you, but the word you is a big defensiveness elicitor. If we start with I, it generally pulls down defenses. So we should ask for what we need. We need to ask for what we need, every single part of that. Yes.
Now, Zavara, what about, you know, financial issues are a very big part that plays out in marriages, and lack of finances, and also different finance styles. You know, one may come from a home that are big spenders, and then the spouse may come from a home that is completely the opposite. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times finances are a very big issue.
Mm-hmm.
How could marriage counseling be helpful when finances are an issue?
Okay. And you're right, it's a very common issue, and it goes, it has to be unpacked down to core needs. So if spending money to me means that I'm, you know, fighting the sense of deprivation and this is how I need to take care of myself, or I'm in a lot of pain in a certain area of my life and this takes the edge of the pain off, we would dig into what the core need is for this spending, and the vice versa. If I'm have anxiety around money and it has to do with security and safety and saving and putting away or keeping in a budget, that gives me safety. So we go down to the core needs of whether it be safety or deprivation or nurture. And once that changes the entire language, so now we're not talking about money. Now we're going to help two people have to get their needs met. And the money can often find a way to be compromised on. The approach is, then you're looking at how does each one get their needs met in a way where the family stays safe financially, safe and not in deprivation mode. But in cases where there's not enough resources, it is stressful, and couples can be each other's best advocate through those hard times. And then they have gold, right?
Right. And there are therapists in the clinics that are wonderful. There's so many good, very professional therapists today that work in clinics. If someone cannot afford a private therapist, that should not be a reason not to go to therapy. You know, it used to be that people would say, oh, I don't want to go to a clinic. I remember when I started Mass 21 years ago, nobody wanted to go to a clinic that would call for a referral. It was always, oh, no, in a clinic, they probably don't have anyone good there. But today, it's really, they have wonderful therapists, so many from well-trained therapists, supervised therapists, that one can get very, very good therapist to see for all issues, relationship issues, marriage counseling, addictions. There's many different areas that clinics offer, and anyone that does need a referral should feel free to call MASC at 718-758-0400. And if anybody wants to see Zavara Levy, you can also call MASC, and we will give you her contact number as well. And like Zavara has been saying, marriage counselor offers a safe environment for expressing any unhappiness one may feel, getting our feelings out to open us up, to be more vulnerable, and work together to relearn skills that may be needed to maintain a fulfilling marriage. Zavara, there are many times that unfortunately marriages do fall apart, and they end up in divorce, unfortunately. And it is good to go to therapy to learn also how to end a marriage. You can talk a little bit about that too, please.
So the same tools apply to a couple that's breaking up, in that if they can do so in a way that where there's mutual respect and understanding of needs, holding two realities, you know, this is what you're going to need, this is what I'm going to need, how do we make it work so that no one is we're not left fighting, we're left negotiating in a way where the ultimate good, which is hopefully the safety of the children and the stability for the children, remains intact. That's what I would say to that.
And you always have some sort of connection to your ex-spouse in reference to children. So the benefits are always that you're going to have a simcha, you have to be together. It's always better to be able to be in a, end it well so that one can move on. But sometimes that doesn't happen, and sometimes it just ain't rosy, and you can't do it well. You can't end it well, which is very sad, sad for the couple and sad for the children. Devorah, what are your last words?
Right.
I'm sorry.
I just want to say, you know, can all marriages be saved? No. And is it doomsday for the children? Not necessarily. I think there are some children who grow up and do very, very well in homes that, where there's tension and lack of closeness. But there are some kids who are very sensitive to the tension. And divorce can be done well, too. And children can grow up and become highly functional, sensitive, and great partners, even coming out of divorced homes. But yes, it is a difficult road, it's challenging, and it means if the ability to hold two realities is there and the respect is there, it can go much smoother, yes.
And very often, if one waits too long to seek marriage counseling, the odds could be against you. So let's, you know, encourage that if there are families out there that are struggling, don't wait until it really becomes a blowout or one spouse says, okay, I want to get a divorce. Go early on. They're a wonderful therapist. Vera Levy is a couple therapist, marriage counselor, trauma counselor. She's licensed and supervised, which always is something you should ask when you make an appointment by a therapist. Are you in supervision? Devorah, it's really been wonderful having you on. I want to thank you. Always great doing things with you, collaborating on programs in the community.
Yeah.
And again, I'd like everyone to know MASC's number is 718-758-0400. Anyone needs a referral, marriage counseling, bipolar, schizophrenia, drugs, alcohol, gambling, internet addiction, eating disorders, all mental health issues and addictions, or you want a program in your child's school, feel free for prevention, all programs, call MASC 718-758-0400. Thank you again, Devorah, for being on.
Thank you.
And I'd like to wish everyone a wonderful evening and a beautiful Shabbos. Thank you and good night.
You.